Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Diamonds are forever.
Woo! Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 8:04 the time. Hour number two here on Sports 56 Mornings, the Monday, April 13th, 2026 edition. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Jay Ham. We're live and local broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, check them out at 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. 68 degrees currently. Windy, cloudy this morning. Intervals of clouds and sunshine this afternoon. The high temperature of 81 and maybe a sprinkle here and there as well. Tonight, mostly cloudy and warm, 66 degrees. And then the weather for the next couple of days, very warm in the mid to upper 80s. On Thursday, it looks like the best chance for the return of some precip. We haven't had any in a while. About an 88% chance of possibly some thunder boomers on Thursday. Hour two of the program brought to you by the great folks at James Gattis Jewelers. Your family's jeweler at 4900 Poplar between Mendenhall and St. Nick, and on the web at GattisJewelers.com. If you're getting engaged, if you're looking for a special gift for a special someone in your family, James Gattis Jewelers. You need something appraised, James Gattis Jewelers. You're selling your gold, silver, and diamonds, James Gattis Jewelers. They're full-service jewelers with two bench jewelers ready to serve you. So if you need something fixed, you need a cleaning, bring it over to James Gattis Jewelers. 4900 Poplar between Mendenhall and St. Nick, and on the web at GattisJewelers.com. And every Monday and Friday, they bring you the Memphis Sports Fact. Did you know Will Wade's staff, in his return to LSU, the one-time LSU head coach, went to NC State, now back at LSU, his staff will include three coaches with ties to Memphis. Friend of the show, Damon Stoudemire. He was an assistant with the University of Memphis two different times. He was also an assistant coach and a former player with the Memphis Grizzlies. Damon Stoudemire, the former head coach at Georgia Tech, is on the staff. Rick Stansbury, former Memphis assistant coach, former head coach at Mississippi State, Western Kentucky. He is on the staff. And Johnny Jones, former Tigers assistant and former Tigers head coach, who became the interim head coach after the firing of Tick Price. Johnny Jones is on that Will Wade staff. James Gattis Jewelers, again, go see them at 4900 Poplar between Mendenhall and St. Nick, and on the web at GattisJewelers.com. That is quite the staff that Will Wade has put together.
Yeah, that's obviously a lot of head coaching experience in that staff. I mean, that's good for him.
If you have the money to be able to bring those type of coaches in, why not? So the wrap-up of the NBA regular season yesterday, the Detroit Pistons claimed the number one spot in the East. Boston finished second. The Knicks third. Cleveland fourth. Toronto fifth. And Atlanta did get the sixth spot. In the West, OKC, once again, your regular season champions, the Spurs with just a great season. Denver finished third, the Lakers fourth, Houston fifth, and Minnesota got the sixth spot. So, the play-in begins tomorrow. The Heat and the Hornets. The Heat are a 10 seed in the East. The Hornets are a 9 seed. The loser is done. Also tomorrow, it's an 8-7 in the West with the 8th seed, the Trailblazers, at the 7th seed, the Suns. Then on Wednesday in the East, it's an 8-7. You have the Magic at the Sixers. Again, with the 8-7, the winner of that game is in the playoffs. And then at the late game on Wednesday, the 10-9 game, the Warriors and the Clippers. So the loser of the 10-9 is out. The winner of the 10-9 will play the loser of the 8-7 to get the 8th seed. And again, the 8-7 winner gets the 7th seed. Did I confuse you folks? Do you guys like the play-in?
I like any extra basketball. Yeah, I'm cool with it.
We think tanking's bad enough as it is. If you took away the play, there'd just be a couple more teams that are tanking to end the year. So, no, I'm all for it. I like the play-in a lot.
See, I look at the play-in to me as it's the postseason. You can call it what you want, but to me, it's the start of the playoffs. It's like the wild card in baseball. Now, I look at the NCAA basketball tournament with the Dayton games. To me, it's like not the tournament.
I look at
for
it,
some reason, I look at it that way.
If eliminations are involved, it's playoff activity to me.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. So there you go. You got the Heat Hornets on Tuesday, Trailblazers and the Suns, and then on Wednesday, the Magic and the Sixers, the Warriors and the Clippers. You talked in hour number one about the importance of the Magic when it comes to the Grizzlies and that second pick in the first round. Well, they're helped by the fact that, again, that the Sixers will not have Joel Embiid.
Yeah, although I think Philadelphia is still the favorite in that game playing at home.
They are, 1.5 point favorite.
So again, if they were to lose that game at Philadelphia, it's certainly not out of the question that they could then turn around and lose to either Miami or Charlotte as well and end up being a second lottery pick for the Grizzlies. But yeah, they do have two games to win one in order to get in, so it's more likely that they would make the playoffs than not. But we'll see how that plays out.
Charlotte is a 5.5 point favorite over the Miami Heat tomorrow. The Suns are a 4.5 point favorite over the Trailblazers. Just mentioned the Sixers, a 1.5 point favorite over the Magic on Wednesday. And the Clippers are a 3.5 point favorite over the Golden State Warriors, who do have Steph Curry back, but I'm not so sure they care that they're actually still alive and playing in postseason action. Doc Rivers out in Milwaukee, and Giannis has said that while he continues to vent about the Bucks, he won't rule out a return. I just don't see it, guys. I think it's going to be a blockbuster trade that happens in the summer with Giannis being dealt. What do you think?
I think I really don't know. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he ends up staying there and signing an extension. I don't know. I think part of it will probably depend on what happens in the draft lottery with them. But I could see it going either way. I could see them if he's certainly there are issues there between him and the organization, but I don't think they're like issues that absolutely couldn't be, he couldn't possibly play there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The whole situation at the end of the year with the injury and cleared to play, all that stuff. Certainly there is some strain there, but I don't think it's like irreparable. Like I could very much see that if they were, if things work out well for them, especially if they get bumped up in the draft lottery, where they end up deciding to keep him and give him an extension, and he would be willing to sign an extension there.
The Kings announced that Doug Christie will return. Is there going to be any other coaching changes? You've talked, J-Ham, about New Orleans before.
Oh, yeah, they definitely will have something going. I mean, I think you feel...
Well, it's already been done. I mean, this is an interim coach.
They made him the head guy full-time.
No, oh. I'm saying like they already made it. Like, yeah, they have to hire a coach.
Okay.
We know that.
Oh, I didn't even know he was let go.
Willie Green was let go.
Willie this Green is the
Willie Green
for the whole season. Just about.
That's how much I paid attention to the Pelicans.
You didn't know that Willie
I thought
Green
Willie was still there. Hey, Willie, where you at?
He actually was, I think, at the Knicks game yesterday.
Oh, was he really?
He's hanging out with some of his old former players, just fellowshipping and whatnot.
Anything else?
Well, Billy Donovan, we'll see what happens there.
Well, he'll be there. It's just who's going to come in as the GM.
Whenever the Magic are done, they're going to get rid of Jamal Mosley.
Especially if they don't even make the playoffs. Right. Like if they were to lose two games here in the play-in, then there'd be no doubt about that. I think even with a first-round exit in the playoffs, I think he's probably done.
I think anything short of him getting to the finals, he's pretty much done there. So it's going to be some changes, though, in that match.
Some other notes from the NBA. I didn't know that he was leading in either category, but Nikola Jokic ends up the rebound leader and the assist leader. When I've been talking MVP, it's been SGA or Wemby. But again, the guy who you can argue is the best player on the planet leads in rebounds and assists.
He's redefining the center position one day at a time.
And he did get his 65th game, so he was the one Nugget starter that played yesterday. How about Mikal Bridges? He played 23 seconds for the Knicks to keep the streak going. He has never missed a game.
They let him get away with that minus the 20-minute minimum for the...
Right. No minimum, I guess, apparently, as far as playing in a game. His streak now is at 638 straight games. He's never missed a game, played a whole 23 seconds, in this one.
The and as far as the MVP voting, All-NBA voting, all that stuff, that is on hold because Luka Doncic is basically appealing his situation. He played in 64 games. He's appealing because of the fact that he missed games due to the birth of his child where he went back to Europe. So that I can't remember, extenuating circumstances or whatever the thing is. That appeal will be decided apparently within the next 48 hours. I think he couldn't file the appeal till the season officially ended. Once he files it, I think it's got to be done in 48 hours. So they'll make that decision. And apparently they're holding the ballots until that is decided. Obviously, voters need to know whether Luka Doncic is eligible for these awards or not. So once that is decided, then the voting, the ballots will go out, and they'll have all the voting for postseason awards. But they have to decide on whether he is eligible or not, having played in 64 games.
So I mentioned the play-in starts tomorrow, Wednesday, and then Friday. But the playoffs start on Saturday, and we already have matchups set and odds already out. So the Raptors and the Cavaliers in the East. Cleveland is a 7.5-point favorite in Game 1. They are the home team. The Nuggets will host the Timberwolves. That should be a pretty good series. Denver, a 6.5-point favorite over Minnesota. The Knicks are a 4.5-point favorite over the Hawks. And the Rockets on the road are a 4.5-point favorite over the Lakers. These are Saturday games. Sunday, of course, we don't know exactly who will play the Celtics. It's either going to be the Sixers or the Magic. The Thunder's opponent, the Pistons' opponent, still to be determined. And either the Suns or the Trailblazers will play the Spurs. So odds obviously have not been put out yet on those because we don't know the exact matchups.
Yeah, Denver's a little bit bigger favorite in that series than I had thought they would be. They're minus 350. I thought that would be a little bit closer odds-wise as far as the series is concerned, but I think that series could be a lot of fun between Minnesota and Denver.
They're best of five, aren't they?
Yes, the first round is... No, it's best of seven. That's
all
right.
They're all best of seven again.
That's right.
They should go back to the best of five for the first round, I think, though.
Baseball is the one that still does the best of five. NBA went to the best of seven, yeah.
All right.
The problem with that is they don't want... They really don't want the eights beating the ones.
Like, this is true.
And the more games, the more chances are. The shorter series, then it becomes a little bit dicey. But they want the best teams to advance in the end.
Well, it seems to be the trend in all the sports, especially in college sports with different conferences, changing their tournament rules. We know that in the American Conference, you finish first or second in basketball, you're automatically into the semifinals. They've also done some things with baseball to give the advantage to the teams that had the better records during the regular season. So it only makes sense that they would do that and try to give the better teams in the NBA, the higher seeded teams, the better chance to win. But I still like it best of five for the first round. But yeah, that surprised me. I didn't know it had gone to best of seven. Okay, if you want to continue to hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines about the Grizzlies and moving ahead, the future, John Morant, and all that good stuff, your comments on Zach Kleiman, 901-360-8255. Again, the exit interviews will be held today at 11 o'clock over at FedEx Forum. Not open to the public, but I'm sure we'll get some juicy stuff that comes out of that, and we'll talk about it on the program tomorrow. In other basketball news from the college basketball world, portal news, and if you missed it, the chances of Memphis bringing back P.J. Haggerty, who was with them a couple of seasons ago, then went to Kansas State, is over. P.J. Haggerty has committed, according to reports, to Texas A&M. Last year at Kansas State, while they were bad, he was good again. 23.4 points, 5.3 rebounds, 3.8 assists per game. Have you heard any numbers being floated around?
I have not seen any, no. We're getting a lot of we're starting to get some of the big names, you know, committing and doing their thing, but I haven't seen any numbers as to it'll all be speculation, but I have not seen anything as far as what kind of numbers these guys are getting.
Yeah, the number that I'd heard that they were going after, they meaning his family and if he has a representative as far as an agent, $4 million is what they were going after. Not sure if that's what he got, but that was the rumor out there. Also, a couple of guys from local connections that were in the news over the weekend as far as the portal is concerned. Daniel Vera Tuck, who was committed to the University of Memphis, ended up not playing with the Tigers last year, is now headed to Tennessee State, where he'll play for former Memphis Tiger assistant coach Nolan Smith. Former Overton High School star, Chattanooga transfer Jordan Friesen, who many thought maybe Memphis would be in on him. He has signed with Wichita State, so he'll get to play against Memphis as he's headed now to play for the Shockers.
Yeah, and again, we're starting to get a lot of the commitments now. Like, you know, Louisville had a great weekend.
Big weekend.
Landing Badunga, the big from Kansas, as well as Shellstad, the transfer guard from Oregon. And who knows how much money that was for that combination, but I guarantee you it's a lot of that. You know, now that, and as these top guys continue to go more and more, you know, that you got Chilovich, the shooter out of Iowa State, who's going through the draft process, but also into the portal as well. If he does come back to college, a guy who shoot 50% from 3-point range will be very, very much sought after as a possible portal landing.
There's a lot of rumors out there as far as Penny Hardaway's team, what Memphis may do. They now have Gabriel Harris here. I believe he's here or is on his way here because their season is over. They came up short, the Stockton Kings, trying to win back-to-back G-League titles, but another great run, and Gabriel's the new general manager for the University of Memphis. But from the rumor mill, things I've heard, including Memphis has, I think, put a nice offer out there for Rowan Brumbaugh. And Rowan Brumbaugh is considering several schools, but a couple of them are power conference schools, which you would think with the season he had would be offering. So I'm not sure, you know, where those offers are, what a difference it could be from a financial standpoint. But 99% of the time, the most money out there on the table is where these players are going to go. By the way, did you see, not to go, get off track here, I want to get back to this here in a second, but Lenore Sellers, was it his father who came out and said that they turned down $8 million? Mm-hmm. Get the hell out of here. I don't believe it. I do not believe it. I'm telling you, I don't believe it. He's a good quarterback, but $8 million?
Yeah,
I don't buy it.
I would be surprised if I don't know what he's getting from South Carolina, but I don't. I would find it hard to believe you would turn down that much money.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Hitman Hoops, who has some information out there, and the guy's pretty good at knowing some info that other people don't have. He had a bunch of stuff over the weekend, including that Memphis is looking at Mizzou assistant Steve Wright, a former Duquesne assistant coach, who's also been involved with grassroots basketball with the UA circuit, that he will be the next assistant coach for Memphis. Again, Memphis is going to add a fourth assistant coach, according to reports out there. I think Jason Munns may have had it first, but we'll see if it ends up being Steve Wright. Also, that Memphis has Zoom setups with Duquesne 6'5 transfer Jimmy Williams, who's also looking at SMU, Ohio State, Oklahoma State, among others. Also a Zoom setup with Mississippi State big 6'10 transfer Jamarian Davis Fleming. They have reportedly had a visit from, or will have a visit from, North Carolina A&T transfer Lorian Walker, 6'5 shooting guard, small forward, a really good shooter. According to his report, he's already had a Zoom meeting with the University of Memphis, but there are a number of different schools that are after him as well. So some of the names that are out there, again, not substantiated by me, but rumors that are out there in the Twitterverse that Memphis could be going after. I would imagine things start to heat up here in the next week. Again, they don't have to sign all the guys in the two-week period that players can go into the transfer portal, which will end on the 21st. But you would think that it will start to heat up a little bit. And we still haven't heard about Aaron Bradshaw, whether or not he is officially in the portal or not. That name is the only name affiliated with the University of Memphis from last year's team, this past season's team, that either hasn't announced he's staying or is in the portal. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand why he wouldn't have just at least be in the portal at this point.
Right. He has until the 21st. I mean, those 8 days.
But I don't know why you wouldn't at least put your name into the portal. If there's any chance of you leaving, you get into the portal.
Right, because there are actually some schools out there that may go by the rules and wait till the player's actually in the portal before they contact them. Only a few. Not sure who they are, but...
Yeah. Again, I'm sure his agent is having all these conversations at it, but I don't, yeah, it's just weird that you wouldn't just at least throw your name into the portal just to make that part of it official.
I agree.
And see what happens from there. That doesn't mean you couldn't still negotiate with the University of Memphis if that's what's going on and possibly return there. But we'll see, I guess, in another week. Whether he officially goes into the portal or not. Hall Power Washing Solutions. If you want to make sure your home, your business, everything's looking as good as it could possibly look, you need to talk to Hall Power Washing Solutions. Roderick Hall and his folks will make sure that the exterior of your home, your roof, your patio, your driveway, your sidewalks, all of that stuff looks great. A lot of dirt and grime and things build up through the winter months. You want to make sure it's looking its best. And all you got to do is make one simple phone call. That's to Hall Power Washing Solutions, 258-1399. 258-1399. That's the phone number to Roderick at Hall Power Washing Solutions. You can also just go to their website, hallpowerwashingsolutions.com. That's H-A-L-L. HallPowerWashingSolutions.com. Right there on the website, you can see some pictures, some examples of the work they do, all the different services that they offer. And also you can get a quote right there on the website as well. Whether it's commercial, whether it's residential, again, you want the exterior of your home, your roof, all of that looking great. Certainly if your business, you want to make sure your business looks great, the driveway, the parking lot, all of that. Talk to the folks at Hall Power Washing Solutions. Again, hallpowerwashingsolutions.com. That's the website. Or give them a call at 901-258-1399.
This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Did you miss your favorite Sports 56 show?
No!
Check out the podcast, broken down hourly, at sports56whbq.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe. Never miss any Sports 56 show again with our podcasts available daily from Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Genuine diamonds, baby.
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Right.
It was a wild but successful ride for Rory McIlroy at Augusta National as he defends his Masters Championship after 17 years trying. He finally got it done last year. And then 1 year later, he's in the winner's circle again. I got to be honest with you. He had the 6-shot lead at the halfway mark. I'm sure everybody and their mom thought Rory's going to win. And then after the third round, when he was tied for the lead, and especially when he lost the lead early in the fourth round, I'm sure most people, including myself, said, he's not winning. I was looking for 5, 6, 7 different guys that could win on Sunday, and Rory shut me up. Rory McIlroy, your Masters champion in not only 2025, but in 2026.
Yeah, pretty amazing that he's been able to do this, kind of a second act almost. You know, he went 11 years without any majors, and now has won back-to-back Masters to get to 6 for his career. It's always an adventure with Rory. You never know. He had the double bogey early, looked there like maybe Justin Rose was finally gonna be able to get the green jacket after the 3-time runner-up finishes, but then he's unable to do it. Then Rory played extremely well there on Amen Corner, and then able to hold on an 18 despite the tee shot a million miles right. I guess he technically hit it far enough right to give him at least a way to go over the trees rather than having to try and hit some punch shot through there. But yeah, pretty amazing stuff. Fourth guy ever to go back-to-back at the Masters. You know, Scottie Scheffler, I still can't believe the putt on 17 didn't go in for Scheffler. I don't like it. It looked like it was going in. I, for the life of me, can't figure out how it didn't. that hurt. But he, Scheffler got hurt early. I mean, he only birdied one of the par fives on the day, did not birdie either one of the par fives on the front nine, which you just have to take advantage of those par fives, and he was unable to do so. But, congratulations to Rory, man. Pretty amazing stuff after all the disappointment through the years to come out now and win it back-to-back years.
You mentioned the fourth golfer to win back-to-back Masters titles, the other three, Nicklaus, Woods, and Faldo. Pretty good company. Yeah, it was Scheffler was interesting. I had decided that I wasn't going to pick Scheffler. I don't know why. And then you turn around and early on in the tournament, okay, Scotty's human. And then by Sunday afternoon, early Sunday evening, he's right there again. He's right there. He's one shot behind. He finishes second. But then you had some interesting characters after him. Justin Rose, who's now 46, is that correct?
45 or 46,
okay. Still. To once again get so close, finishes tied for third. He had a couple of just errant shots in that back nine. I thought Rose was in great position to win. Cam Young coming off the Players' Championship. I don't know what to expect from Cam Young. He was terrific. Russell Henley is always good. I got to remember this for next year. When I'm picking guys top 10, pick Russell Henley. He's always there. And Terrell Hatton, who, fortunately for the LIV guys, they were terrible. He was really good. They all finished 10 under, two off the pace. Then you had Colin Morikawa with the back. And then he, what, 4 or 5 in a row he birdied on Sunday?
It was not easy. It was a struggle, but he was able to get through 72 holes somehow. And not only got through 72 holes, but played very well with that back issue.
Sam Burns tied with him at -9. They tied for 7th. And then tying for 9th, Xander Schauffele, who I thought had a really good chance to win. This came out of nowhere. Max Homa, -8. Max Homa was like ready for the ferry tour, whatever it's called, the Corn Ferry Tour. I mean, he's just not been what he used to be. And then he goes out there and shoots 8 under at the Masters. Good for him.
Yeah, he's had some tournaments. Like he's been very inconsistent with his game. You know, he's had some tournaments where he's played well, but I mean, he hasn't been able to get back to what he was a couple of years ago when he was able to win and looked like he was one of those real bright young stars. But he found a way to piece it together in this one.
So that was the good. The bad starts and maybe ends with Bryson DeChambeau. He was my pick. I don't know what happened.
Is
he overthinking things?
Two bunkers happened to him. The one on number 11 on Thursday when it took him 3 shots to get out, and then 18 on Friday with the chance to make the cut and makes the triple bogey on that hole, leaving it in the bunker again.
Mm-hmm. How about an iron that he made from a 3D machine? I don't know. Whatever. Maybe that was a problem.
But no, it was certainly really surprising to see. Him again, even with battling back Friday, giving himself the opportunity going to 18, the bogey makes the cut, and to make another triple there to miss the cut. I mean, that certainly was very surprising.
John Rahm, his performance early, ended up having a good Sunday round, but he was never a factor. That was certainly surprising and bad. And then you get to the ugly, and Robert McIntyre, of course, the birds he was flipping, and he was reprimanded for that. He was awful. But what Sergio Garcia, a former champion, a Masters winner, what he did on was the second hole, I think it was. The second hole. He's got his whole round to go. He breaks his driver. And ESPN, I don't know, this is going a little far, but ESPN, I forget which host it was, calls for Sergio to get a lifetime Masters exemption, or to get his lifetime Masters exemption revoked. I think it's a little much, but he can't act like that, act like a baby like that. Again, he's a former champion.
Hey, golf is frustrating.
By the way, it was Greenberg. Mike Greenberg is the one who's calling for that.
Guys get angry. It happens.
Yeah, look, we all get angry playing golf. I'm not even good not getting angry, but I never, like, will break a team, you know, a tee marker, anything like that. I'm not going to do damage to the course, especially at Augusta National, and especially as a former champion. I don't know. I don't know what you can do. He plays on the LIV Tour. You know, what you can do. And you're not going to stop him from coming back next year. That's not happening. That's ridiculous what Greenberg says. But I would like to be some sort of severe penalty, maybe a fine or something, but I don't know if they could do that. I don't know what the rules are.
Well, the Masters
are independent contractors.
Can do whatever they want.
Well, sure, but they're not going to ban him from playing in the future.
Again, I don't think they really need to do anything. They reprimanded him. He had to play the rest of the round without a driver. So gets mad.
What's a reprimand? You shouldn't have done that. You should feel bad about what you did. Now go in the corner and think about what you did. I don't know what a reprimand is. I mean, with McIntyre, it's not like he broke his club, but he's flipping the bird. And again, the Masters is different. Sorry. Snooty, put your nose up. Yeah, it's different. It is different. You got to accept it for being different. You can't be flipping the bird out there. You can't be breaking things.
McIntyre did was technically, again, I don't care about either one of them, but was worse than what Sergio did. I mean, on TV, flipping the bird is worse than just banging your driver. And again, Sergio penalized himself because he has to play the rest of the day without the driver. But again, guys get mad during the game of golf. So be it.
All right. So six majors now for Rory McIlroy. How old's Rory now? He's still in his 30s, sure. Right?
Yeah. I think he's been on tour for how many years now?
I still remember when Rory was given an exemption here in Memphis.
He's 36.
36 years old. He was given an exemption by the late, great Phil Cannon. That was during the Samford years, right? Wasn't it Samford? Is that what it was called? Samford Financial? The guy?
Stanford.
Stanford. Okay. And the head guy got locked up. Ended up going to jail. He was Sir something, whatever. But I remember Rory. That was when Lee Westwood won. And I was covering it for, I don't know what year it was, one of the TV stations I worked for. And I was down there behind the green. And here comes this white guy with an afro. He had a big old fro, Rory McIlroy.
Like John Riggins style with
yes. Yes. Like Rigo. I'm like, what? And he came down to congratulate Lee Westwood. Of course, Lee Westwood was represented and still is. I don't know if he still is, but UPS, which was all, the whole thing was weird. You know, it's UPS, it's FedEx thing, here comes. But Rory was given that exemption, and he came down and congratulated Lee Westwood. You just never know when people start out just how good they'll be. I remember when Phil Cannon got us Jordan Spieth. Eli and I were doing our shows out there when the hub right behind the driving range. They have something there now, but it's not really where you do the broadcast. We do it down the 18th fairway. But it used to be really easy for the players to come over. And he brought us this young guy named Jordan Spieth who got an exemption. And he was nice, nice, pleasant guy. We had him on the show. Who was to think that, you know, he would go on to win? What's he got, four majors, Spieth? At least three. Three, probably, right?
I think he has.
Wait, I got it right here. Let's see. Spieth has.
He probably has four.
Hmm.
Or does he just have one in each?
Let's see.
Yeah, he's just won the three one time.
Yeah, so he's got three. But anyway, the point is that Rory's won six. So I asked on Twitter yesterday, where does he fall now in the annals of golf history when you take everything into consideration? Ryder Cup play, the six majors, other tournaments, where he's been ranked on the world in the world rankings, his impact on the game of golf. Now, from a major standpoint, he's well behind. Obviously, Jack and Tiger setting the tone there, but even guys like Walter Hagen has 11, Ben Hogan 9, Gary Player is 9, Tom Watson is 8. I mean, he's not that far off now, but he has six. He's tied with Lee Trevino's got six. Nick Faldo's got six. Phil Mickelson now has six, or has six. Rory now has six. Has Rory now surpassed Mickelson? Has he surpassed Sir Nick Faldo? Has he surpassed Lee Trevino, even though they all have the same amount of majors?
You certainly can make the case he's got two players' championships along with his majors. So you could very much make that argument for Rory over Phil.
Yeah, and you don't look at the money list. I mean, that's a whole different ball game with how much Lee Trevino made compared to what Rory McIlroy made. But Lee Trevino was instrumental in him and Chichi Rodriguez and a few others to help the Hispanic population fall in love with the game of golf. So his impact still may be more than Rory, and they had the same amount of majors. This is hard to believe, but Arnold Palmer only has one more major than those guys. Arnold Palmer has had seven majors, but his impact obviously huge in the game of golf. Arnold got it started before Jack took the torch and ran with it.
The thing about Rory to me that is watching him now again playing the way he is, it's just still crazy that he had that 11-year gap with no majors, really right through his prime.
I mean, right.
It's just amazing to think, because you watch him, the way he drives the ball, how far he hits it, everything else. And then here he won really without the first couple of days. He couldn't find a fairway to save his life. But he's just so talented and so good. You think, like, how in the world did that guy go 11 years through his prime without winning a major? It just doesn't make sense. But it's golf. That's the crazy part.
Well, the argument would be that there's much more competition today than there was when Lee Trevino was playing, or even when the guys were playing in the 80s and 90s. That the competition now, there's too many incredibly talented golfers. And I buy that.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, yeah, the equipment, the competition, everything else is different and opens it up to a lot of other guys. But still, you watch a guy that talented and you just say, like, how does that do? First of all, you just think he should win, like, every time he plays. Because, like, Scheffler does, like, wins, like, but, like, if you watch Rory, like, Scheffler, you, like, look at this weird kind of awkward swing and everything else. Like, the dude's really good. We all know he's the best, all that stuff. But Rory, you watch it, you're like, there's not, like, you're just like, how does this dude, like, it's beautiful. Like, right. The swing's beautiful. Everything's just beautiful about the way he plays. But then he sprays it all over again, like that shot on 18. Like, first of all, I have no idea why he's trying to hit driver there. Just, you got to make a bogey. Hit an iron out there. Like, if that ball gets, like, right behind a tree somewhere, mm-hmm. like, you could theoretically make double bogey. But, like, dude, just take whatever doesn't reach the bunkers and hit it right at the bunkers with whatever iron that is in your bag, and you're not going to make worse than bogey.
Right.
I mean, it's impossible.
Right.
Instead, he blasted a mile and a half right. But that is the Rory. When you watch that, you're like, that's why he went 11 years without winning majors, because he has that in him, like, of just all of a sudden one of the shots that you're like, how in the world does Rory McIlroy hit that golf shot?
Yeah, and it's a good thing that Augusta, while certainly a challenging course, but mainly on the greens with the undulation and things of that nature, where you put it is so important. But it's not like, there are some holes certainly that have water, and there are some holes, like at Amen Corner, the par three, you could put it back there in the woods. But for the most part, because we've been there, if you spray it right or left, unless it's right behind the tree, you're going to have somewhat of a shot to knock it out. It's those courses that when you go left or right and it's just thick forest and you know the ball's gone, I hate those. I like it where it's actually some trees and a lot of opening where you could actually find the ball and just knock it back into play or use the other fairway to go down.
Texter says, Mickelson has 11 more worldwide wins than McIlroy, so no, he hasn't passed. Plus, Phil did it at peak Tiger.
Okay.
That is a very good argument.
That's a good argument.
The fact that, yes, you were out there. How many more majors could he possibly have had if it wasn't Rock if he wasn't competing against Tiger Woods in his heyday. But again, I think you could make an argument either way. Obviously, Rory has the career Grand Slam, all that stuff. I think you could. There is a good argument to be made either way as far as Phil and Rory are concerned.
There is, but I would tend to agree with the texter there that I would still lean toward Phil at this point.
East Coast Wings and Grill. No, there were probably, I wasn't up there this weekend, but I'm sure there were a lot of people up there watching the Masters Saturday and Sunday, enjoying some of that great food while doing that. Of course, the NBA playoffs now going to be getting underway, Major League Baseball in full swing, and they've always got all the games, all the action on the many TVs up at East Coast Wings and Grill, plus plenty of great food that you could choose from, including, of course, the wings with 60 different flavors to choose from. You could check those out, but all beyond the wings, a lot of other great things on the menu, some great sandwiches, salads, the flatbreads like the Philly cheesesteak flatbread. Of course, happy hour Monday through Friday, 3:30 until 6:30. And every day during happy hour, they've got specials. Today being Monday, it's Mechanical Monday for you mechanics, auto workers, and tradesmen out there. 20% off your bill. Office workers Tuesday, essential worker Wednesday, healthcare Thursday, and first responder Friday, that you could take advantage of those great deals over at East Coast Wings and Grill. Located in Bartlett, just off Highway 64, right between the Lowe's and Walmart out there. Check them out. Great food, great place to watch the games. East Coast Wings and Grill.
You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. To Sports 56 Mornings.
Isn't it a lovely morning?
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Another texter texts in, says when Mickelson played, the field was nowhere near as hard as it is now. Yeah, you did have the dominant Tiger at the top, but I do think most people would probably say that the overall depth of field is better now than it was then. So you can make that argument again. I think there is an argument made either way for Phil versus Rory.
And I've watched golf for decades, but I've never seen more competitiveness in today's world than in the past. Sure, in the 70s when you had Nicklaus and Trevino and Johnny Miller and Weisskopf, it was kind of the end of the Arnie run. I mean, there was 8, 9, 10 guys. There's 30 guys now that are really good. Really good. But 50 guys that can win every week. It's just, it's amazing how good and how competitive golf is right now. We had some sad news over the weekend. A friend of the show, Browning Nagel, former NFL quarterback, who was a star quarterback at Louisville. He used to live in Memphis, passed away at the age of 57 from colon cancer. He was selected number 34 overall by the Jets in the 1991 NFL draft. He didn't have the NFL career that certainly he had hoped and that most thought he would. Big, strong guy, could hit a golf ball a country mile, but he was a standout college coach, and he was just a great guy, and we would have him on the show. Browning passed away at the age of 57, so our thoughts and prayers with the Nagel family. Also, from the world of baseball, scrap iron Phil Garner passed away at the age of 76 from pancreatic cancer. Damn cancer. Three-time All-Star, former manager for a number of teams, one of those players that was in the dirt, you know, got the dirty, kind of like Matt Reiser when he played in college, who's going to be joining us to open up hour number three. One of those guys, do the dirty work. But he was a three-time All-Star. So Phil Garner passes away at the age of 76.
Got a text here from Bill. Says, Rory spent 3 weeks practicing at the course. Scotty spent that time changing diapers. Yeah, again, Scotty, that's why I went away from Scottie Scheffler going into this. Was you just don't know, like, when you take some time off, the birth of the child, the last two tournaments he had played in, he hadn't certainly had not been the normal Scottie Scheffler, so I didn't know for sure really what to expect out of him. But bottom line is, when it comes to the toughest golf courses and things like that, you probably should count that Scottie Scheffler is going to be near the top of the field, because if the cream rises to the top at the tough golf courses, he's generally going to be there.
Well, it's nice to have the resources, the money, to be able to do what reportedly Rory was able to do. He lives in Florida. The story was he would drive his daughter to, I don't know if she's kindergarten or whatever the grade she's in, drive her to school, jump on the private plane, fly to Augusta, play around, come back, pick up the kid from school. I mean, it must be nice to be able to have those types of resources. Now, with that said, Rory had all those rounds of practice under his belt, and to the point of the texter, Scotty maybe did not have it this time around because of the little baby that was just born. Priorities, right? But Rory comes out like gangbusters as a six-shot lead after two rounds, and you would think, oh, man, it's because of all those times he got to practice here in the last month before. What happened on Saturday? He didn't have it on Saturday. Sometimes you have it, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you practice and you have it, sometimes you don't practice and you have it. There's no rhyme or reason for golf. Just, it's good days and bad days. And then the fact, again, that he lost the lead on Sunday. He was already leaking oil from Saturday. That is what blows me away about everything, is that Rory was able to get it together. He had some great drives on the back nine, some tremendous putts, and then everybody else in the field that was right there seemed to wilt. Scheffler didn't wilt. He just, as you said, missed that on that 17th, that putt was right there on the doorstep and just would not fall. But all the other guys, from Rose to Cameron Young, Henley had opportunities, missed a bunch of putts. They all did. And he didn't. So I give him an awful lot of credit, because I would have bet, and I didn't bet on this event, but if I bet on Sunday going into that fourth and final round, I wouldn't have bet Rory. I did not think he would win. And what did he do? He won. Folks, take your basketball skills to the next level at Shoot 360 Memphis, a revolutionary basketball training facility. It combines cutting-edge technology with gamification and provides instant objective feedback with hands-on, one-on-one expert coaching. There are a bunch of Shoot 360s around the country, so this is not just in Memphis. And there are many professional players that put their name to Shoot 360, including Thaddeus Young here in Memphis, one of the owners of Shoot 360 Memphis. So you know it's got to be good. The 17-year NBA veteran puts his name and his stamp of approval on Shoot 360. You got a basketball player or players in your family, you want them to get an opportunity to get great coaching and to get better, specifically as a better shooter. Maybe they're trying to make that high school team or make it to college, get a scholarship and play college basketball. Well, they need repetition. They need to get out there and they need to practice. And you have that opportunity at Shoot 360 Memphis. Sure, you can go outside. When it's raining, what are you going to do? When it's hot, it's not good. But if you get an opportunity to go inside Shoot 360 Memphis and have that opportunity 365 a year to get up shots in their shooting bays with the Shoot 360 technology, why wouldn't you take advantage of it? And now you can get their services on a monthly basis. In other words, you're not bogged down with some long-term year or multi-year contract. You can go month to month. Two locations in Collierville. That's the original 85 Market Street. You can call them at 901-316-5500. In Cordova, Big Orange Road, that number to call, 901-779-3176. As I always say, give them a call or stop by, ask them for a tour, let them show you exactly what it's all about. Get into one of those shooting bays. I'm telling you, you're going to fall in love with it. The future of basketball training is here at Shoot 360 Memphis. We open up Hour 3 as we do every Monday during this time of the year, talking baseball with Matt Reiser from the University of Memphis. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.